Hebrews chapter 10. We'll once again read the scriptures beginning in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sins you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. In all the Word of God, there is this great theme. Jesus just talked about it. And this great theme is that the holy and living God would provide a wonderful Savior for sinners. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman who would destroy the works of the devil. And he's there also as the seed of Abraham who would bless all the families of the earth, which meant what we read in Luke this morning, he will be a blessing to all peoples. And so the Savior would not come just for the Jews, not just for Israel, not just for the Hebrews, but for all the world, the seed of Abraham, in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. We also see as Genesis closes out that he's held up as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king, the ruler of Israel, who would come. In Exodus, he is the great Passover lamb. He is the true tabernacle. He's the light of the world, and he's the bread of life. In Leviticus, he is our great high priest. In Numbers, he is the star of Jacob, the brazen serpent lifted up for the healing of all who look to him. In Deuteronomy, he is the greater lawgiver and prophet than Moses. He is the manna from heaven. He is the one who brings us into the land of promise. In Joshua, he's the great captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our mighty judge and deliverer. In Ruth, he is our affectionate kinsman redeemer. These words are from the Psalms. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus said, this is the great theme of Scripture. Spurgeon said, if you take a verse of Scripture from anywhere and cannot get to Christ and to the cross and to salvation, you're interpreting those verses wrong. Well, I wouldn't say every verse, but I know that every book definitely points to Christ. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees in his day, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those which testify of me. The scriptures are about him. In the volume of the book it is written of me, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, with the disciples, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so our first point this morning is, or the title of our message would be, a gift to God and to man. A gift to God and to man. The Savior is the first point. The Savior is a specially prepared gift from God. The Savior is a specially prepared gift from God. Look at verse 5. Therefore, when he, the Lord Jesus, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So the Father prepares this body. It's miraculously formed in the womb of the little virgin named Mary, and is specially a gift prepared from God, a special body. We could not come to where God, who knows, a body like unto our sinful flesh. He did have a natural birth, as it were, as far as that's possible, to be formed in the womb of a virgin. But he was born into this world. He did have human flesh. He did bleed. He did get hungry. He did get tired. He did get thirsty. But he's especially prepared gift in that he was formed in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit of God, a body planned and prepared by the Father from eternity past. We could not come to where God was. He is infinitely holy and we are desperately sinful. I like what John Gill wrote about this. He said, his was a real natural body, which stands for the whole human nature and is carefully expressed to show that the human nature is not a separate person. In other words, though Christ is God and though Christ is man, he's not two different persons. He's still one Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man in one body. It was prepared. Now listen, it's not a separate person. It was prepared in the book of God's purposes and decrees and in the counsel and covenant of grace. It was mysteriously formed by the Holy Spirit in due time for the Son of God to clothe himself with, as the ancient Syriac version says, thou hast clothed me with a body that he might dwell in and in it fulfill the will of God and perform the work of man's redemption. God, who is infinitely high above all the heavenly beings and angels, descended to us and was made like unto us, except for the sinful nature. The angels answered and said, this is from the scripture, the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And John tells us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Paul tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And then Paul writes to Timothy, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Jesus is the greatest gift ever given by anyone to anyone. How much does God love us? Well, there are no words to describe how much God loves us. So it is shown in an action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23 talks about this gift. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is through Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ. It's a person who performed a great and wonderful, miraculous work. The work was not only perfect and pure and holy and just and acceptable, but it was a person. It was based on his righteousness, his goodness, his love. And so the Savior especially prepared gift from God. Said in the volume of the book, it is written of me from Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman would destroy the works of the devil. It would be a special body born of a virgin, just like the Old Testament law and the prophets pointed to. Secondly, the Savior's life was not only a specially prepared gift from God, but it was a special gift to God and man. The Savior's life, if we look at Jesus and we meditate on Jesus, we meditate on the scriptures, on his words and his works, his love, his ways. It was a beautiful life, a life of the highest attraction. The multitudes went out to follow him. The people marveled at the things that proceeded out of his mouth. They were, as it were, under great marvel and astonishment. How the scriptures came alive to them. How Jesus would open some of the writings of Moses in his preachings and point to himself as the Savior who would suffer and bleed and die in their place. That he would be lifted up. Remember when he said, unless the Son of Man be lifted up, you all perish. But if I be lifted up, then all peoples will come to me. And so This wonderful Christ was a special gift to God and man, and his life was beautiful. Look, verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Oh, that is the secret of true and beautiful life. A life of the highest attraction. And Jesus is the only complete fulfiller of the will of God who ever walked this earth. No one else completely fulfilled and pleased the Father at all times like the Son. Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. I know that He hears me always. And what does the Father say about Him? We don't read about Him after He's 12 and He's in the temple and He said, did you not know that I should be about my Father's business until He becomes 30, 18 years later? And the Father testifies of what was going on in all those 18 years in one word. Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What was Jesus doing? He was pleasing the Father in thought, motive, affection, deed, action, every step He took, every word He spoke, every attitude He had, every thought that He bore, every affection and motive and reign of His heart was always pleasing to the Father. You know the two greatest commands, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus fulfilled that first commandment 24 hours a day, every moment, every second of His life that He offered up for us on the cross. There was not a waning moment that Jesus was not completely in love with the Father. Heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, completely to the nth degree of His being in love with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength. He fulfilled that great commandment for us. And the second one, He went beyond. When it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus loved us better than Himself. He gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. He thought it not robbery to be called God, but laid His glories aside, became like unto us. He humbled Himself as a servant. Remember as He washed His disciples' feet. Remember as He became a servant to the people who wanted to hear Him speak, who wanted Him to come to their house and heal their daughter or their son, or to cast the demons out of one of their children. Whatever it was they wanted, when they were hungry, He fed them. When they were paralyzed, He made them to walk and to run and to dance. When they were deaf, He made them to hear, and the first voice they heard was the voice of the Son of God. He made their blind eyes to see, and when they looked up to see who it was that made them, their first vision was of God's gift, His greatest gift, His Son. What a wonderful Savior. And so it says here, He delighted in obedience to God. He was the only one who completely fulfilled it. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says of this, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. In other words, what it is to please you, what it is that makes you happy, what it is that satisfies your soul, my Father, that I do. That's in my heart. I was born to do it. And that's as Jesus talking when He became man as well as God. He was always God. There was a time when He became man. And now He's not two persons. You need to realize that. He's one Savior. He's one Lord Jesus Christ. The life of the Lord is the most beautiful life ever lived on earth. The beauty of virtue, the beauty of purity, of godliness, the beauty of love, compassion, and pity, the beauty of a flawless and pure obedience. We read the beauty of His wise words. We marvel at His holy kindness and gentle nature, even among the little babes who were brought to Him. His beauty at home, and which flamed in the temple. His beauty which graced the vineyards, the gardens, the shorelines, the waysides, and the homes of repentant sinners like Zacchaeus and hypocritical Pharisees like Simon. It's impeccably beautiful. The example of Jesus is beautiful, and so beautiful that He bids us to come and follow His example, to imitate His selfless love, to follow in His steps. Paul commanded us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ like we put on our clothes in the morning. He also said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ is to have its place and power in you and me. We are bound to let His life fashion our life, our heart, our words, and our thoughts. And the more we become like Jesus, the more beautiful we are. The more attractive we are. The more we stand out against the sinfulness of this world. The more patience we show to those who are unruly. The more love we show to those who would be our enemies for no reason. It's the more beauty that we show of Christ in this wicked, dark world as we shine His lights for Jesus. Thirdly and lastly here, except for the application, is this. The Savior's sacrifice is a precious gift to man and to God. The Savior's sacrifice is the precious gift to man and to God. Look at verse 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He gave Himself, He gave this body mysteriously and wondrously formed in the womb of a virgin named Mary by the Holy Spirit of God, planned for all eternity past, talked about throughout all the Scripture in the volume of the book it is written of me. And this person was a special gift. His sacrifice was a special gift to man and to God. Jesus was touched with pity, and He came down from His eternal throne, from the ivory palaces, the Psalms say, that were filled with all kinds of beautiful fragrance and wonders and splendors and love. And He came and left that, saying to His Father in heaven, upon me, my Father, upon me let their iniquity be. Let me bear this burden. Let me set them free. And no other sacrifice could save us. There was no other way. Look at verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats could take away sins. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. If those could please God, if those sacrifices of these animals, if those sacrifices, those innocent substitutes, could be good enough to assuage the wrath of God against our sins, the Father would have never sent His Son to endure what He endured for the sake of our wickedness. But because it was impossible for them to take away sins, because they could never take away sins, the blood of bulls and of goats, they don't represent the human race. God had to become man. We are so desperately wicked, but God is so infinitely compassionate and holy that He came and suffered for our sins. The great Creator became our Savior. And so, no other sacrifice could save us. The only way for us to be redeemed is if God became man, represented us, offered His life a perfect righteousness, contrasted against our utter despicable sinfulness, and He died in our place. He had to be man to represent us, but He had to be God to be able to say, it is finished, paid in full. God could only accept a perfect sacrifice without any spot or any blemish of the least sin. The sacrifice must come from the heart of God that it might reach the heart of God. It must be a perfect obedience offered for our utter sinfulness. And that perfect obedience, remember, included a perfect love 24/7 every moment, loving God with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength continually, every moment. God could only accept this perfect sacrifice in light of our utter sinfulness. An obedience of total willingness was Christ's. Look at verse 9. Then He said, behold, I have come to do Your will, O God. Amen. Thank God that He was willing to save us. That it was His will that we be redeemed by His Son. And Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. In His sacrifice was a beautiful and blessed accord with the perfect will of His Heavenly Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Therefore, when you see Jesus on the cross, you see the Father's love. You see His wrath against our sin, but you see His love to provide the sacrifice for our sins, even if it was His only begotten Son. Jesus was obedient to death, the Bible says. Yes, even the death of the cross. The sacrifice was perfect. It was offered in the will of the Father. Therefore, all the sacrifices had to cease. All the high priests had to be done away with. All the tabernacle had to vanish. All that old system had to go, because Christ is the true temple, who, if it was killed, if it was brought down in 3 days, it would be raised up again. He is the true sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the perfect high priest who offered up Himself. We have been sanctified, the Bible says here in Hebrews, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This great gift, this gift prepared from all eternity, this body that would be able to represent us and yet not have our sinful nature. Then His sacrifice was accepted, because 3 days later He rose again from the dead. In the gift of the Son of God, we see the brightest picture of the love of the Father. You know, we see all these wonderful blessings, and we ought to thank God every day that we live in America. We have more than enough and to spare. Our homeless people eat better than most of the world outside of this country. We are of all people most blessed. We have the freedom to worship this morning. In the vast country of China, which is what, almost 2 billion people, they have no religious freedom. Cuba still has no religious freedom. The Muslim world has no religious freedom. African countries, many of them, have no religious freedom. But you can come here and worship God in safety. And for now, we can. If things keep getting much worse, they're trying to tell us that what we can preach about and what we can't preach about, that we can't call sin anymore because politicians are involved in the baby-killing industry and the homosexual industry. They're making money. They're buying votes from these people. And if those people get offended... You know, it was sad this week while I was at work. They had to bring these guys in from a construction company and make another bathroom in the offices, and for it to say transgender. It's really sad. You got to use the bathroom of whatever sex was written on your birth certificate when you were born. And it's just sad. All the expense, all the money it's taking, all the offenses that are occurring, because that people are so desperately wicked, they're demon-possessed, their minds are twisted and gone. You know, once you do that, by the way, this is a scientific medical fact. Once you go transgender, there's a 41% chance that you will commit suicide. 41% chance. Because it's like the guy said this last week, this one guy that promotes all this stuff, he said, "Oh, we don't do it to be happy. In fact, we know it won't make us happy." Then why are you doing it? Why don't you choose something that would make you happy? Give your mind and your heart to Jesus Christ and let Him transform you by His miraculous grace, like He did people like me. I was bent on just being selfish and living for the car I wanted, living for the things I desired, living for the next thrill. But when Jesus saved me, He changed my heart. He changed my mind. I looked at the world in a whole different way. It was like I was living in darkness, chasing after things that meant nothing. The light switch went on. And now I saw what was important, what was meaningful, what was good, and what was bad. And Jesus is able to do that. May God have mercy on these people that are forcing it down the throats of our children. They were trying to pass a law, was it last year or the year before, in the state of Oregon? Just like with abortion, they don't have to let the kids in school, they don't have to let the parents know that they're taking their daughter for an abortion. Oh, but they have to have permission to give them an aspirin in school. or to let them use their asthma inhaler in school, but to go have a surgical procedure that's very damaging and very dangerous, you don't have to have the parents' permission. Little van comes by. Well, that same kind of thing was being done now to make transgender surgeries for as young as 15 years old. Anyone who is 15 years old or older in an Oregon public school could get a free transgender surgery without even having the parents' permission. Very sad. That was a new law trying to be passed just a couple years ago. We live in a dark and sinful, twisted, desperately wicked world. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Only Christ can set it right. Only the gospel can make people new and transformed and bring them through this metamorphosis of being a worm into a butterfly. Only the gospel can give people wings to rise above the filth and degradation of this world. The world is calling good evil and evil good. Have you noticed it? Have you not heard it? That everybody who is pro-family, who is pro-freedom, who is free market capitalism, everybody like that, this whole side calls us racist, bigots, homophobes, xenophobes, intolerant, and yet they're the ones crashing windows, burning schools, confronting people in restaurants and yelling them down. And this last week we learned that these people called Antifa, which are the true fascists, and just like the brown shirts Nazis of our day, they attacked two Marines in Philadelphia and beat them, stomped on them. One of them is still suffering. They called him a bunch of racist names like white trash. Both of them were Hispanic. Both of them were Latinos. Their parents were both Hispanic. One was a Puerto Rican American, one was a Mexican American. Beat them just because they hold and treasure the United States, the American flag, and our freedoms that these people hate. You know, we don't see demon possession in our day the way they did in Jesus' day, where people would throw themselves in the fire or they would run and cut themselves and stay out in the tombs. And if you tried to chain them, they would break the chains. And so you would have this casting out of demons. But we do see demon worship around us. We do see not demon worship, but demon possession around us. Every pedophile has got this wicked, sinful heart. And every time they inflict violence or pain or hurt or tears on a little child, I believe they are doing the will of the devil. I do believe their minds are given over to Satan. And it goes from the lowest levels of the ghettos all the way up to the highest parts of our government and governments around the world. It's in our media. It's in Hollywood. It's in the music. And if you think that these guys, just because they wear nice suits or because they make good movies or because they sit down and read the news to you, they must be special people. No. Many of them are vile and wicked enemies to our freedom. His sacrifice was so perfect, so great for us, so transforming, that it says we have been sanctified. We have been set apart. Once for all, that means once for all forever. That we need nothing else but Jesus. We need only Him. And if we say yes to what He's done for us, if we say yes to Him being our Lord, if we say yes to Him being our Savior, if we trust our eternal, never-dying souls into His nail-scarred hands, into His keeping, apart from our religion, apart from anything good we can do, apart from anything that we could claim it would be pleasing to God, which is not. If we give it all our hope to Him, if we give our lives into His hands, our eternal souls, we are sanctified once for all, forever. Look at verse 14 again. For by one offering He has perfected We're made perfect? Absolutely. How long? Forever. For by one offering, his one work of his great sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, set apart, transformed, being made more and more into the image of him. So application quickly is this. Number one, the Son of God, according to these verses, made a covenant with his Father in eternity past, that he would give his life a sacrifice for sin, that he would destroy the works of the devil. The Father, therefore, would be glorified forever and ever by a thankful, redeemed, blood-washed, adoring people throughout all eternity. Jesus would live a life of complete, loving, intense, wholehearted obedience to his Father. Then he would prove the immensity of his love to the nth degree of its being by giving his life, taking our sins and offering himself a holy sacrifice to man and to his Father. In the fullness of time, Jesus gave himself the richest gift of the loving and perfect obedience to his Father. Secondly, Jesus left it all for you. He bore everything for you. He gave his life for you. He's giving you the greatest gifts, eternal life, the mercy of God, reconciliation with God, hope that goes beyond the grave, peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. His promises, which in him are yes and amen to the glory of God. He blesses you with 10,000 blessings. He gives you the full gift of everlasting life. What will you give him this season? Would you give your life to him? Will you bear his name? Will you not be ashamed to own him as your best friend? Will you leave your sins for him? Jesus left everything for you. What will you give to him? And then I spoke of it earlier. I gave some allusions to it, spoke briefly. But what is the secret to a beautiful life? Well, it's first of all, the secret is be in the Savior. Be in Christ. It's ugly to say no to God. It's ugly to turn away from Jesus. It's demonic. It's wicked and evil. So the secret to a beautiful life is, first of all, to embrace Christ. You know, when it comes to beauty, I was struck one day. This was many years ago in Oregon. I was visiting the treasurer from another church. His son had gone into the military, and I was just going by to visit. He was also the man who did my taxes for years. As I went by, we were talking in the backyard, and I saw a big, beautiful tree, just huge tree. It had little bitty leaves, and each leaf had this really beautiful green mixed with a pastel yellow. Each leaf had green and yellow all in the same leaf. Big, beautiful tree. And I had all kinds of questions to ask him. Where did you get the tree? Oh, it was here. What kind of tree is it? I'm not sure. Well, when you find out, could you text me and let me know what kind of tree this is? I wanted such beauty around me. So, likewise, when we catch a glimpse of the beauty of Christ, we say, how can I have this beauty? How can I keep it? Does it grow stronger? How do I strengthen it? Is it within my reach? Can I have some of this beauty? Well, the secret of Christ's beauty is in one thing mentioned here, where he says he delighted to do the will of his Father. He delighted to live the Word of God. He said, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The beautiful life of Jesus is simply the fruit of delighting in walking with God, saying yes to God, being in the Word of God so that you might live the Word of God. The will of God is beautiful. It is loving. It is just. It is holy. It is good. The life it creates is a radiant patina of heaven itself. If you want to be like the Savior, you must daily look to God in His Word and delight in what He calls you to do. Whether it be giving to somebody of your time, your energy, if you have the money to be a blessing, it may be not only in service, but in praise to God. That's a beautiful thing. God loves to be praised. God loves to be adored. It's good to give, have the gratitude attitude to God, to thank Him every day. It's beautiful. Have you not seen that beauty in other believers, that when they, no matter what they're going through, they find the way to say, but God is good. I thank Him for His daily grace and strength. That's a beautiful life. If you want to be like the Savior, this is what He calls you to be and do. Delight to do what God wants. Only the Holy Spirit can do this in you. It's not in you. It's not in your nature. It's in His new nature in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, His Holy Spirit. It is God who works in you both to desire and to perform His good pleasure. The key is looking to God in His grace and strength, asking the person of the Holy Spirit, oh Holy Spirit, help me to be like Jesus was. Help me to live like Jesus would live if He was in my shoes today. Help me to see as Jesus would see if He had my eyes today. Help me to hear as Jesus would hear and listen to others as I go out today. Help me to feel and be moved with that Christ-like compassion for the needs of others as Jesus did for me. Help me to delight on what You want me to be and what You want me to do. Only the Holy Spirit can do this, but He will do it. He promised to do it. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control. All of these things are character qualities of Christ. Christ exemplifies them, and we have the gift of Christ. And therefore, well, let me put it this way as we close. We were talking about beautiful paintings and art. Let's take it to the realm of music. My favorite, well, I have to put two favorites in there, but my favorite composer is Bach. And a lot of the music you hear by Bach on classical radio or on classical CDs or cassettes, a lot of that has words to it that weren't sung with the recording of the music by the London Philharmonic or St. Martin's in the Fields or the Los Angeles Orchestra. They didn't put the words, but you can read the words in the sleeves of the old vinyl albums. And every song is about praise to God. Jesu, joy of man's desiring. All these songs about glory to God. Some of the most beautiful music, I would say the most beautiful music ever composed, is glorifying to God. It was written in praise to God. And Mozart is my second favorite. I just like some of his original type of ideas and thinking. But Bach, you could think, man, I love Bach so much. I wish I could play music. I wish I could compose music like Bach. And we say, that's impossible. You can't. It's impossible. But I say it is possible. If the spirit of Bach, the mind of Bach, was to come into me, and I was to yield myself to that spirit, to that mind, then I could compose like that spirit, like that mind, like that talent, if that spirit came into me. Now, you have the Holy Spirit of God. And it is possible, by His grace and His strength and His spirit, to make you more beautiful like Jesus. To make you a great gift to everyone you know. To make you a great gift in your family. To make you a great gift in your church. To make you a great gift to strangers. To make you a great gift to your neighbors, your community, wherever your sphere of influence is, wherever you go. To make you a gift. I just close by saying there was this song that I really loved, and I had forgotten about it. In all the turmoil and stress of a ministry up in Oregon for years, I'd forgotten about that song. And then one day a little lady went to the post office. They didn't deliver mail in our community there in Lafayette. You all had to go to the post office. A little lady came in whistling. She whistled a lot better than I do. And I thought, there's that song. there's that song I love so much and I'd forgotten all about. And if you know it, you could sing it with me. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. You see, while all the ungodly music was playing in places where I used to work, there were a few songs, just a few, that could break the strain of whatever other music was playing around me if I just started humming it or singing it to myself. And that was one of them. Yes, ma'am. You know, I would just like Google, I keep falling in love with him over and over again, and see what song comes up. But I love that one. Now that you've heard it, sing it with me, and you'll learn a new song for this holiday season. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. One more time. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And see, that was a blessing you today too. But remember, it went back to a little lady in a post office that lightened my load in my spirit that day and said, yes, that's the song I love. I used to sing it all the time and I forgot it. And so that's the blessing you can be. That's the beauty you can be if you'll just delight to serve Jesus, just delight to follow him, be like him. Father, we pray you bless our message now, the remainder of our time, in Jesus' name. Amen.